กลับมาบ้านGood to be with you again this morning. Good to have everyone with us. I have a pretty good number, I think. Our number in Richmond today may not be much more than what you have here today. We have a lot of our family there at the congregation's out. They are traveling and camping and going to see families. I remember when I was in Etna, Arkansas, preaching there. It was an older congregation, and it was a totally different kind of experience on the holidays, because with it being an older congregation, generally all of their kids came to see them. So our numbers always swelled on those holiday weekends. Richmond, we've got a younger congregation with young children and children who are teenagers, and our numbers seem to dwindle. Everybody's gone somewhere else to visit family. And so it's good to be with you this morning, and I hope that the things that we have prepared to say will be beneficial to you. What I want to do this morning is I want to look not at the entire life of Peter. There'd be no way for us to do that. But I want to just look at two stories found in the life of Peter. And I want to try to see if we can, taking those two stories, see if we can learn some lessons that would be beneficial to us. I think we can learn a great deal about life, about how to live from the life of Peter. Sometimes maybe we can learn even more from the life of Peter than we can any of the other apostles, maybe because we can kind of relate with Peter a little easier than maybe we can a Paul. We can relate with him a little bit easier. So what I want to do this morning is talk a little bit about couple of stories in the life of Peter. First of those, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And both of these stories are going to be very familiar, so we're not going to spend a lot of time in telling the story. I believe we mentioned this particular story a previous time that I was here. The story of Jesus walking on the water. He tells his disciples to go across. They had been preaching and teaching. He had just fed 5,000 people. And so there had been a lot of activity. There was a lot of people that had been around. I mean, it had just, in some ways, had been somewhat chaotic. I mean, if you imagine trying to teach 5,000 people, and then trying to feed 5,000 people, and then try to gather up the leftovers after having fed 5,000 people, it had been a very chaotic and busy time. And so Jesus then, we see, wants a little bit of time alone, and so he sends his disciples ahead, he sends away the crowds, and then in verse 23, we see he goes on a mountain to pray there alone. And in fact, I don't know at what point he went on the mountain. I don't know what point in the day it was that he had sent the crowds away and that he had told his disciples to go away. But we are told at what point in the day it is when he descends from the mountain and he is going to catch back up with his disciples. It says that it was evening. And so he arose and there alone. He sees the boat is a long way from the land. It had been evidently traveling for some time. And so he sees that he's a good way from them. The wind is contrary. The Sea of Galilee, it was a sea that set below sea level. And so there were mountains and hills that were up and around, surrounding that sea. And so a lot of times you would have the winds would come over these hills or these mountains and they would cool off. Then they would come rushing down into the Sea of Galilee, down into that warm, moist air. And we know what happens when cold air clashes with warm, moist air. Here in Missouri, you get thunderstorms. And so the Sea of Galilee was known for its storms. And so one of those storms had evidently cropped up. And here are the Lord's disciples in the middle of the boat, or in the middle of this sea. And the Lord begins to come across the sea walking on the water. The disciples see him in verse 26, and they suppose that it is a ghost. And so they cry out in fear. Grown men screaming from a ghost. And so then in verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is one of the more familiar stories in the life of Peter. A story in which there's a lot of action. I mean, if you were to put this on a movie, can you imagine the action? Can you imagine the music and the build-up as the camera pans across and you see the skies are dark, you see the waves are rolling and the wind is howling, and they take a shot of the boat and hear waves crashing over the boat, and men suddenly look out and all their eyes are fixed upon something, and the camera whips over and there is this ghostly white figure seeming to just float across the water. And as they screech in fear, Peter then hears, or the disciples then hear, the calming voice of Jesus saying, "It is I. There's no need for you to be afraid." And so Peter then makes his great exclamation, "If it is you, then command me to come."